Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed.
Well, Sean, here we go on another Tuesday podcast, and just another interesting topic that Mother brings up and brings to us. And again, we encourage everybody that if you do listen to the podcast, for the line of order, it would be best that you listen from the beginning. But every one of them is full of truth and understanding from Mother and Abba and the Son. And so it's just another beautiful time to be able to come and talk about the truth of God and really dig into and evaluate what is faith. And this is what we're going to talk about tonight with the heart and the sin nature. It's interesting because I honestly can't remember but maybe one or two times from maybe a Sunday school teacher that the actual sin nature was brought up, and his objective on that sin nature was, well, that's why you still sin, is because of the sin nature. And which is true, but not true from a faith perspective. And we'll get into all of that. What is the heart? What is sin nature? How does sin nature affect the heart? And what do we need to do to be able to get rid of that sin nature from the heart? And so in the Bible talks about from your heart. And they're not talking about your physical heart in your body. They're talking about your spiritual heart. And because the physical heart is the, all the other organs are necessary to sustain a healthy life, but the heart is top of the list. If somebody can be brain dead, but their heart keeps beating. But once the heart gives up and is beating no more, everything else follows that. Everything. The vital organs, every part of your body, it follows the heart. And it's important to know that the reason that the Bible calls talks about your heart in the Bible is not to speak about the aspect of your beating heart, but to actually let you know what it is that you need to understand in order to be able to make changes. And so just correlating it to the reality of the physical heart, well, the spiritual heart is the same way. And that's why Messiah even said that, what was the one, let me go and bury my father. And he said, let the dead bury the dead. Why? Because there's people there that are dead that are actually, their living heart is alive, but their spiritual heart is dead, And a lot of times, I saw recently a place was having a tent revival. And revival's not what people need. Resurrection is what people need, because they need that heart, to that spiritual heart, to be beating. But if nobody talks about the heart and the sin nature and how, you know, how they are together and what you need to do to get away from it, then it doesn't matter if you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, or, you know, you genuflect to God 1,000 times a day. It doesn't matter, because your heart's still black and it's dead. And so the heart of the Spirit is a vital organ for your faith. It has to be, excuse me, alive and well, and it has to be beating in order for you to be alive in Christ. Scripture says alive in Christ.
As you're speaking, something that came to mind was when Yeshua the Son was speaking, teaching the people, and they said, you know, Lord, why do you speak to people in parables? And he says, the reason I speak in parables is, how can you understand the spiritual if you don't understand the physical? So I'm giving you a physical representation, because think about the heart. What is the function of the heart in the body? It's to supply blood throughout the entire body. Well, the blood in the Bible, it's mentioned that the life of an animal is in the blood. So if we don't have blood being pumped to our vital organs by the heart, then we have no life. And you transfer that to the life. Well, if you don't have the life of God within you, then how can that life be pumped to the rest of your spirit? And I was just thinking about the body, that all the functions of the body, that, you know, you have a heart issue, or, you know, the heart in the Bible, it says that the heart is wicked above all things. Well, why is it wicked? You know, because we're going to be getting to that, because there's a nature that's in the heart. Well, the heart is the, and you hear people in the world say this, well, in my heart of hearts, or the, you know, I really have a heart for this. Well, what is that saying? It's the, what is the core? Like, what is the core thing that keeps life going is the heart. So if the heart stops beating, like you said, then you have no life. Now, the brain may continue for a little while, but yeah, if you have a, it's a catastrophic thing. Like, even if the heart stops beating, even for a moment or two, like, it isn't like, well, my heart stopped and I'm okay. I mean, if it does anything other than what it's doing, that it's catastrophic. It isn't just, well, it's just a minor thing. I mean, it's catastrophe. That, I mean, that's got to be fixed immediately. And same thing about the heart. Well, you know, how can you live for God in the heart and also in the mind? You know, there's a way to be able to do that, that we'll get into, because the Father wants those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, in spirit will be in heart. So you have to, there has to be a way in order to get the truth of God in the heart, not just in the mind. And, you know, we'll be talking about that, but I was thinking about the nature of something, because I have animals at home, just thinking about a dog and a cat. Well, you bring a cat into your house, well, the cat is going to adapt to my house, but it's still a cat. The cat is not going to start talking. The cat is not going to start having conversation with me and, hey, Sean, how are you doing today? How was your day at work? And no, because they have the nature of a cat. They have a preset life that's been set in their heart, that they have the nature of a cat. Or a dog has a certain nature, that the dog is going to be barking, the dog is going to chew, the dog is going to chase after cars. And unless that nature is changed, the dog will always go back to what its nature is. A dog will dig holes. A dog will carry bones, bury them. And you don't see people taking a bone outside and digging in the ground and putting, because, well, I don't do that. I'm not a dog. So when we're getting into the sin, the nature, it's the sin nature will do what the sin nature is unless that nature is changed. There has to be a change. And the gospel message allows us to be able to get rid of that nature and replace it with a godly nature, because the godly nature does not do the things that the sinful nature does.
And it's interesting, because coming to mind words of Messiah, and this is what they say is one of those hard teachings of Messiah, where he says, "Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." Well, from what we understand and what we know, eating of his flesh is you living the life he did, and then you crucifying yourself with Christ. You're walking in his flesh, and you're following his example and his footsteps. And then the drinking of his blood is when you have mother in your heart, you have his blood pumping through your spiritual heart, which makes you alive in Messiah. You know, we're dead in the world, but alive in Christ, in Messiah. And so it's really important that we find a place where we crucify ourselves with Messiah, and then we can have that blood pumping through our heart. So just bringing to light the understanding of what the spiritual heart is. The heart of the human being is their subconscious. And sometimes you'll hear us, we call it the lower conscience, because it's below the conscious mind. And so the heart of man and woman is what's in their subconscious. What's in their lower conscience that's not in their conscious mind. And here's how it works. Your subconscious or your lower conscious, that what's below the surface, has a reason and has a purpose. And that's where all your muscle memory is stored. Things that you don't have to think about now that you had to think about in the past when you first started doing them. And take, for example, you play the trumpet. Well, when you first started playing the trumpet, you had to constantly think about it in your mind. But as you continue to do it over and over again, what that is your training or your programming, your lower conscience, to be able to do it without thinking. And it's music, it's baseball, it's basketball, soccer, any sport, any physical thing you do, any emotional, spiritual thing you do is muscle memory. You know, you get upset sometimes because of muscle memory. And sometimes you don't even know why you're upset or what's bothering you. And it's because you don't know what's in your lower conscience, because you're not conscious of it. And how things get in your subconscious is through repetition. It's through the basic form of mind control. And again, like we said before, mind control is good, provided you use it from the right perspective and you understand what you're letting control your mind. You know, we let faith and God and Messiah control our mind because we have faith in them. And we continually do that, and then it becomes second nature to do it. It becomes your second nature, because your first nature is sin. It's a sin nature. But just diving into a little bit on the aspect of the heart within itself is the lower conscience. And everything that you do, from brushing your teeth, you know, waking up in the mornings, even driving, you know, driving, you're conscious of direction, but you're not consciously sitting there thinking about, all right, got to have my foot on the gas pedal, got to push it a little bit more, got to take it off, got to brake, the stop sign comes up, you automatically take your foot off the gas, move it over to the brake, and you're not sitting there thinking, okay, take your foot off the gas, move it to the brake, now gently push it down. And because it's muscle memory, it's things that you have done repetitiously, and you don't have to think about it. But I know that those things are in me because I see it when I go to make a stop in the car. The problem is when you can't see or you don't see what's in the lower conscience.
Just evaluating this, that the lower conscience being the heart, and that the mind being the, we would say, the conscious mind, the upper conscience. And I'll just take it back to my days when I was studying trumpet when I was in college. And something that I remember my trumpet teacher was really big on, and applies to faith beautifully, is we would have lessons, and when I would be being taught something new, my trumpet teacher would talk about what's called programmed responses. And what we would do is we would practice, and he was very diligent about this, to make sure that you were practicing it the proper way, so that when I would start playing the trumpet, if I would start to make a sound and there would be like a blip in the tone and it didn't come out just really clear, he would say, nope, do it again, because you don't want to program yourself in the repetition of doing it incorrectly. And it would get to a point, and going on with what we're doing, that the repetition of it, what we talked about at the very first podcast, the mind control through the brainwashing, the repetition, got it to where it was a programmed response in my lower conscience, to where now I would just start playing. And he would say, okay, well, don't think about that. Just start playing. And the more you would do it, you would have that nice sound. Now, if it still blipped, you'd say, okay, nope, stop, go back. What did we go over? Go over those fundamentals, play it again. And then it would get programmed. And then once that was programmed, you would continue and move on to other things. And that's the way it is with godly things, that at the beginning, you can only change it in your mind first. To get it in your mind, then to get it in the heart, to where it's programmed. But the problem that we have is that we go through the Bible, we apply the truth of God, but we can get it in our mind, and we can attempt in our mind. But there's a problem, because the sin nature is there, that it can't necessarily get set in there to where we can be that thing. Because people have heard this term, you're a human being. Well, the being part is in the lower conscience. Your programming is, that's your being. So in order to be a spiritual being, you have to be spiritual. Just like the Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. Well, the only way you can be holy is to get the godly programming in the heart. Now, if there's sin in the heart, then the sin is going to choke that out at times. But the goal is to start it in the mind, to then get it into the heart, to where that can be your nature. Because a dog, you can give a dog commands and a dog will respond, but a dog will not be a human unless the nature of the dog is actually changed to a human. And that's what the power of the gospel is, that God, through circumcision of the heart, will put the godly nature in your heart, to where you are now a spiritual being, that you can be godly and have sin taken away, because the sin nature is the human nature, not the godly nature. Because it says in the Bible that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Well, there's no darkness in Yah, so there is no sin in Yah. So there's a process that you start to get the godly in the mind, then get the godly in the heart, and then you can start being godly. But there's a process, because just making a decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior does not give you a godly nature. It doesn't give you what you need to be godly, because if we're going to walk as Messiah did, Messiah walked without sin. So in order to do that, we have to have the nature of sin taken away. And that's something that, and you started saying this at the beginning, that I don't remember that I can recall any teaching on the sinful nature. That it was just, well, you know, you're a sinner, we're all sinners, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, so I accepted him, I'm okay. But no detailed discussion on what the sinful nature was, what it's about, why do you do the, like, was it ever discussed, why do we do what we do? Why do we act like we do as humans? The Bible says this, but I'm not following what the Bible says. How do I change this? How do I be like Messiah? There has to be instructions, but it wasn't brought up. And what we found is that God gives instructions step by step in order to have life, to have the godly nature within you, you know, very specific instructions.
And the depth of the wickedness of the heart is actually laid out in Scripture in when it talks about the tongue and how no man can tame the tongue and that the tongue is a restless evil. And so, well, how does that correlate to the heart? Well, we also know that the word says that what comes out of the mouth is the overflow of the heart. So it's the overflow of what's in your heart. And you can't change that on your own. Man cannot tame the tongue. It's made clear in the Scripture. Now, we have to remember that with God, all things are possible. And so that aspect speaks to the wickedness of the heart of man, which is the spiritual heart, which is dead to God. So we have that death in our heart. Well, what do we do with it? How do I tame it? Well, the only way you can tame it is you have to be on God's side, full agreement with them, mother in your heart. Then we start taming the tongue, because it's not us doing it on our own. It's us doing it with the help of Yah, that God is teaching us how to do those things. And how you do it, it has to be done by repetition. So, and what you had brought up, talking about the worldly things and spiritual things, and if I speak to you of worldly things and you don't understand, you're not going to understand spiritual things. And it's so interesting, because your life is made so that you have no excuse before God when the end comes, because it's all been made plain. It's all been laid out as to what you need to do in order to carry through to salvation. And your heart is a wicked evil. And it's one of those things that you cannot get away from. But the Bible makes it clear that that's what it is. What comes out of the mouth is the overflow of the heart. And what people don't realize is, well, I just complimented that person. But what you don't realize when you don't have that fullness of faith in God is that you had an ulterior motive for complimenting that person. And you don't understand why you did it. But going back to the aspect that everything in your worldly life is there to show you that you can pursue the things of God if you pursue them in the same way you pursue things in the world. If you seek for something in the world with all of your heart and you get it, you achieve that goal, then you've walked through the gospel message in the world. Now, the worldly things need to go away, but they can't go away instantly. One, it can't go away if you don't understand what your heart is and that you need to change your heart, and you need to recognize and realize what your heart looks like before God. You know, it's a black heart. A black heart is a representation of death. And so we have to look at the things in the world and use them to figure out faith. If you want God bad enough, do what you've done in this life to gain what you've gained, and you'll find it. You'll get it. There's no question about it.
In the intro to the podcast, it mentions talking about the sin nature and can we change it? In the Bible, in Genesis, there's a story that many have heard. It's about Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel both brought sacrifices to Yah. And it mentions that Abel's sacrifice was looked at with favor as opposed to Cain's sacrifice. And Yah told him very interesting things, and this is one that came to mind, thinking about the sin nature. That Yah said to him, "Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" And God says, "Sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. But you must master it." Think about the lower conscience, and think about that sin nature is crouching. It's at your door, because the door, talking about your life, that it's crouching right there. It desires to have you, but you can't master it. No, it says you must master it. Well, the gospel message walks us through how to master sin. You had mentioned taming the tongue. Think about a lion tamer. They don't remove the nature from the lion or the tiger. They end up taming it through repetition to where at a certain point it'll listen to what you say, but unless you master it, then you better not put your guard down, because that lion or tiger is going to pounce and scratch. And they've had people that do that. Well, I've got him tamed and it's okay. I'll walk into the cage and somebody puts meat in the cage or something. All of a sudden the lion or tiger attacks the person, the trainer, because it still has the nature of a lion, even though you've thinking that you're taming it. So what Yah is saying is that there's a way for you to master this to where you become the master over sin, to where the sin is taken out of your heart. By circumcision of the heart, the sin nature is placed into the body of flesh, where, and it also mentions that you are not in the flesh any longer, but in the spirit. Well, you're transformed, you're transferred to being in Messiah, in the spiritual. You don't have the sin nature anymore. So now you have master over sin to where you beat the body into submission. It mentions that, no, I'm the master over this now. I'm in control over it, and I'm not doing these things anymore. And that's the transformation, and just even all the way back in the Old Testament. And see, that's what's so important about the Old Testament that's not talked about, is the Old Testament is about the physical. The New Testament is about the spiritual. Because in the what's referred to as the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, Yah Himself says, in the later days, I will bring a renewed covenant, a new covenant, where I will write my laws in their hearts and on their minds. So there's a way to get it into your heart, but it's a new covenant. So you have to get it written on your mind, walking in repentance, to transform to where it gets into your heart in the New Testament. Because a lot of times the New Testament is looked at as, well, that's where you'll get it figured out. But the New Testament is talking about the spiritual aspect of it. So you have to go to the Old Testament first to circumcise your mind, to repent to the Father, walk in obedience to Him and trust in Him, to then when the Son comes, you can now transfer that to the spiritual. So getting the sin nature out of the heart, you have to start in the Old Testament. But when we were coming up, going up in church, I never heard of anybody telling me that the Old Testament needed to be looked at or needed to be studied. But how can you understand the spirit of the law if you don't understand the physical? That it's, if you want to live by the letter of the law, then you have to be perfect. And here's the consequences for the law being broken. And it's a transforming of the covenant to the spiritual. Well, obey my laws in the physical, okay? In the spiritual, obey my laws into your heart. So they work together, but you have to understand the Old Testament in order to walk in the New Testament. It's not the other way around. You have to come to it to understand the physical, to understand the spiritual.
And we want to make it clear that there are things from a worldly perspective that you can change in your heart. And you have changed. People have changed things in their heart from a worldly perspective. And they've gotten rid of things because they set their mind and then they walked in that. People quit smoking cigarettes when they want to. That's a worldly thing that they chose to do, and they're able to do it. So you're able to do things from a worldly perspective, and God allows that so that you'll apply the same objective to your spiritual in order to make changes there. Well, with sin, in regards to sin, you cannot change anything from a sin perspective of your own accord. It is impossible for you to tame sin, just like it's impossible for you to tame the tongue. It's not possible for you to tame sin. You only tame sin and become its master after going through the fullness of the gospel message, having circumcision of the heart, and then you start a process of, all right, now I'm the master, so I'm going to tame this. And so what people need to understand is you have to follow the process of the gospel message all the way through. And then once you get to circumcision of the heart, in order to advance and grow, you have to use that same process over and over, because God works in the circular, not in the linear. It's not get to the end, get to circumcision of the heart. Well, there's nothing else I have to do. No, that's actually when the work begins. Because prior to that, there's nothing you can do until mother does the circumcision of the heart. And that's written in Romans about the circumcision of the heart done by the Spirit. Now, like you talked about, from a physical perspective, God told the Israelites, circumcise your hearts. And that's something that takes place in your conscious mind, because God knew that that was for the conscious mind, not for the lower conscience, not for the where the sin is, because they know that you're not capable of not sinning without that circumcision of the heart, and that has to be done. So you cannot escape sin on your own. So you have to go through the process to get to the place where you're able to escape from sin. And so as you go through the process, you come to circumcision of the heart, mother enters into your heart, you have the blood of God flowing through your spiritual heart, which then gives you the capability to not sin, to master sin. Here's where the problem is that people will, quote unquote, commit themselves to Christ, but they still sin. And that is true, that along the journey, when you repent to Abba is when you get forgiveness of the sin that you cannot remove. So forgiveness of sins is necessary in the process, but it's hugely important that you remove that sin by the power of God through mother doing the circumcision of the heart, which then takes the sinful nature away. So there is a process where you seek God, you believe them, you believe in them, you have your terror of them, you have your godly sorrow, you repent. At that point of repentance, you get forgiveness for sin, but it's only at the point of repentance. It's not at the first seeking God. It's not at the believing God. It's at repent. When you turn your life completely and wholly, fully committed over to them, that's when you get the forgiveness of sin. And God put the forgiveness in there because they know that even at that point, because you still have the sin nature, you cannot stop sinning. The only thing you can do is hide it and put on the appearance and put on the mask that makes it look like, or you try to deceive people into you're really a good person and you go to church and you do all these things. But the reality is if you're honest with yourself, you're not getting any better at not sinning because you're not capable. And I know this because I walked through the journey and I crying out to God, knowing I could do nothing about it, but it wasn't nothing I could do because my circumcision of the heart, your circumcision of the heart, the things that we're called to do by God is done in your conscious mind. You make that absolute full commitment to God that you're not going to sin, and it's set in stone, and you will never change it, and you will continue that until you die and beyond, and then you walk in that. That you set your mind that I'm not going to sin. And God, if I have to fight this till I die, I will never agree that it's okay. And I will fight it. And because I know that it's not right, and I'm not going to do it. As far as it's as my ability and my concern, I'm not going to sin. Well, that's what God wants everybody to come to, is that realization that you have sin. You're being forgiven, but you're not capable of getting rid of it, and you know you don't get rid of it. And so now what do you do? And then so with the heart, you change things in the world, but without God, without the repentance, you don't get forgiveness of sin, and you cannot change anything from a sin perspective. Even when you circumcise your heart, you set your mind and you walk in that, doing the absolute best you can to obey God and recognizing that you falter time and time again, but I'm never giving up. That's what it's meant to have your mind set in something. And then God gives you tests along the way. And sometimes I remember for me, I'll speak for myself, that I remember that after I repented, I was expecting that things would get better from a sin perspective, but they actually got worse, and I could recognize that they were worse. But I never changed my mindset that I do not like this, I don't agree with it, I'm going to fight it, I will not do it, as much as I can, and I will fight it until I die. And God will put you through a time of testing so that they know that in your mind, it's truly set, and you're going to continue with it. At that point, they're already forgiving the sins that you commit in the midst of that. Then they bring you to that circumcision of the heart with the sin nature. And so with the sin nature, what is the sin nature? The sin nature, we have a representation of this with Messiah being buried. The sin nature is a rock. It's a covering. It's a, you call it a door. You can call it like with Messiah, it was a huge stone that was rolled in front of the tomb. You can call it a prison. You know, it's got at the door, it's got prison bars. The idea behind that is that you can't escape. You, in absolution, cannot escape from inside that because it's got a rock. And that rock is the sin nature. And that rock is the hardness of sin towards God that you cannot move it on your own. It has to be moved by God, just like God moved the rock from the tomb that Messiah was in.
Yeah, because representation of circumcision of the heart, taking away the rock so that now you can have life, now that you have the empty tomb, and now the Spirit can go in and enter and dwell, because that which was blocking that has been rolled away. And as you were speaking, I thought of this, that in the Old Testament, that the law was given through angels that was written on stone tablets. And there's a place in the Bible where it says that the power of sin is the law. Well, that written code on that rock is the guard, that because that written code is there, is written on that rock, it keeps you there. It keeps you a prisoner until you see God as a terror to how to escape from the wrath of this law, because it's written on stone. You can't move it because the law is in place, that sin has its power as long as that rock is in place. But when Messiah came and gave his life, that opened the door. When he had circumcision of the heart, the stone is rolled away, as you mentioned at the beginning. That's not about revival, it's resurrection. So now he walks in the ways of God for the glory of God, not for himself, or it's not a selfish thing. It's now he's doing it, he's walking in obedience to God. Well, now the Spirit can come in, and that same law will be written on the spiritual. Because it was interesting, you mentioned that it's written in stone, it's set in stone, you know, having that forehead like flint, that I am never changing to where I am never going to disobey God. Well, they see that in the mind. Well, if we see that concrete in the mind, that once you have circumcision of heart, it'll transfer to the heart. But if you don't do it here, it can't get transferred. And it made me think of the, in the physical part of it, that Yah knows that you can only do it in your mind. So it makes sense that in the physical, why would repentance be a picture of a water baptism for the repentance of sins? Because all you can do is, the forgiveness is just like cleansing, like you get dirt on your hands and you wash it off. Well, you still have the inside that's dirty, but they know that for a time that all you can do is cleanse the mind. That's all you can do, but we're okay with that for now because that's all you're able to change. So we're going to test you in that, because the repentance is for the cleansing. Messiah is about the removal of sin, and then the Spirit coming within you, now you can live the godly life now, because sin is taken away from you now, that now you can be just like the Father, Son, and Mother are. They walk away without sin. And this is an important point, that we mentioned the sin nature. We have to understand what sin is. Okay, sin does not have its basis in an action. Sin has its basis in the heart. That's why it's called the sin nature. Very simply, sin is disobedience. That's what sin is. Sin isn't, well, I did something that I shouldn't do, it's this action. Well, the action will always follow the heart. So that thing that you did is just a following of the heart. It comes out of the heart first. And that's why Yah knows that you've got that sin nature, that even though you're forgiven, but you'll keep doing those things again, but you're never going to be okay with doing them. And your mind is set that this is not okay to do. I'm not okay with doing it. And then you do it again. But what is your mindset? I'm not okay with this. This isn't right. Excuse me. And then, so there's a process that, and we even have this picture in the Old Testament, the tabernacle that was in the wilderness. What is outside of the tabernacle? You have the basin for washing. And you have the sacrifice. Well, on the outside, you can cleanse yourself, but there's a part that's covered, because the way to into the spiritual part of it hadn't been made clear yet, because Messiah hadn't come. So that is still veiled there, to where you can't go in there yet, because there's a hidden way for a time that you're not, only the priest can go in there. So even in the Old Testament, God has given us the gospel message that, if you don't understand the Old Testament, How are you going to understand the new that now in Messiah, you can see the inner workings of the inner sanctuary and the most holy place and the Holy of Holies is giving you the next steps to where circumcision of the heart, where now the way into the most holy place is made known, which is the Spirit. So it's all laid out, but the good news is that you can live in this life and walk as Messiah did, and you can be without sin in this life. Yes, the good news is Messiah gave his life and rose from the dead, but the good news is that it doesn't have to be when you're in the kingdom. You can actually walk as he did here, and you must walk as he did here. That's what's laid out, that those, because a lot of people will say that I'm in Christ, I'm in Messiah, but it makes it clear that those who claim to be in him must walk as he did. It's not an option. So walking as he did, it says in him is no sin. So there has to be a way, because there is a way, to be without sin. But you must follow the path of the gospel, which is not in the world. You must follow the process of repentance, obedience, and trust in order to live a sin-free life so that you be just like Messiah once you die. Well, the sinful nature is in the body of flesh. Well, the body of flesh stays here, and your soul goes to be with God. Well, they see a soul that has no sin. Welcome into the kingdom. But if they see a soul that has sin in it, you go to the outside, you go to the abyss. So this is a huge concept to understand that Messiah, people will say that, well, only Messiah could be the one that didn't sin. No. No, Messiah was without sin, but if you claim to be in him, you yourself must be free from sin. You must have sin removed from you also. And that's why it makes it clear that we're not saying that we've never sinned, but we don't sin anymore. So you do sin, because if we say we haven't sinned, we call God, Yah, to be a liar. But once you find your place in the Son, you walk as he did. Your heart is set, your mind is set in complete obedience to them no matter what. And then therefore the nature is taken away that I cannot sin because I don't have the nature anymore. It'd be like a dog. If I put a human nature in a dog will not bark. It has no nature, but it still has the programming in it that it'll still do things that it did, but the nature is taken away that's not your life anymore. That's not your nature anymore.
Well, and just thinking about it, somebody may argue that, well, if my heart's a tomb and full of death, then it'll always be a tomb and full of death, so I can't get away from it. But here's the reality, okay? What's the difference between a house and a prison? One, you can come and go freely. The other, you're locked in. You cannot leave. You cannot leave. And the beauty part about this, when it talks about the heart, and the heart is a tomb, is a prison. Well, when that nature, the sin nature, is removed from your heart, now your heart becomes a dwelling place. Not only do you dwell there, but the Spirit of God, the mother of Messiah, is able to dwell there. She cannot dwell in a heart that still has the sin nature and still sins. It is an impossibility. So if someone claims that they have the Spirit in them, but they continue to sin, then they don't know the Spirit, and they don't have the Spirit, and they haven't had the removal of that sinful nature from the heart. It's very important, because Messiah's representation, when he was resurrected and the stone was rolled away, now it was an open cave that multiple people went in and out. The ones that came and found that the stone was rolled away and he was gone. Why? Because the stone is rolled away, life, a new life has begun, which means that tomb is no longer a tomb, but now it's a dwelling place. And so that's the transformation of the old covenant to the new covenant. The old covenant is letter of the law. You're locked in behind that. You can do nothing to get rid of it. The new covenant is the circumcision of the heart. The sin nature is taken away. Now, sin is moved. You have no sin in your heart. And therefore, you are righteous, pure, and unsinful, or not sinning before the presence of God.
We don't have any record that the tomb, the rock was rolled back over the tomb. Because it, just thinking about the written code was written on tablets of stone, which the only way you can move that rock would be you would have to be absolutely perfect in the law, and nobody's able to do that other than God. So the law put on the stone to where the only way the stone is going to be moved would be you would have to be perfect in the law in order for the stone to be moved. So when Messiah was crucified, it says that the written code was nailed to the cross. Well, you're dead to the law through the body of Messiah, that you're dead to the law. So now the written code is taken off the rock, so the rock can be moved. And now the law is placed in your heart to where now it's a heart of flesh, because it written in, I believe it's either Jeremiah or Isaiah, that there's a new covenant I'll bring in those days, that I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will anybody say, know the Lord, because all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. That the reason that you know God is because it's written on your heart, that the spirit of Yah, mother, is in your heart, to where she's the one that teaches you. So that's how you know God. So you don't have to go to people and say, know the Lord. No, because the spirit of my beloved is within you, that you'll know me because she's in your heart. And it just made me think of that's how the power of sin is taken away, because that written code is taken away. Well, then the rock is able to be moved, because it's not about perfection. It's about obedience. So now it can be moved, and now I can write it on a tablet of flesh, written it in your heart, because you have that humility, you have that willingness. Then I will write it on the flesh, on a fleshly heart, not a rock of stone, which was that sinful heart is the heart of stone, to where I can't get my law into that stone because it's sinful. So it's just a beautiful picture of when you see, because I remember as a kid, you see at the beach, you'd see that tent revival. Well, revival is about you are alive and you're dead, and I'm trying to bring you back to life. But you need to be resurrected, because you don't go to a grave. You don't go to a cemetery at night with, I can't remember what those things that you put on somebody's chest and you give them the shock. You don't do that to somebody that's dead. So it makes sense that it's not about revival. It's about resurrection from the dead. Well, God expects that if you're raised from the dead, that you sin no more. And that's why Messiah said, what did he tell people? All right, accept me as Lord and Savior. No, go and sin no more, or something worse will happen to you. Go and sin no more. Get away from this. Yeah, because he knew that, well, but if you really believed in me, then you would get away from it. You wouldn't just keep, you know, doing it over and over again.
Well, and it's key, something that you had brought up, that it's not about the works of the flesh. It's about the obedience in the heart. Because there's a understanding with this that gives you a reality of what happens with the sinful nature. Okay, while you have the sinful nature in your heart, that's the rock that covers it, that you can do nothing about. It's mastering you. It's telling you what to do. And I don't care how hard you try, you cannot get away from it. It's an impossibility. And I walked it, so I know this. So you have the sin nature that is in your heart that locks it in. And because sin is of the heart, not of the flesh. Sin is of the mindset, not of the action. And this is important, because Your heart, mind, and soul are the things that will travel from this life into eternal. And everybody's going to be eternal. It's just some are going to be in the kingdom with God, and there's going to be many that are going to be burning in the abyss. And so God has put it in place for the sin nature to be removed from the heart. Okay, when we say circumcision of the heart, it's the removal, like circumcision is a removal of unnecessary flesh that helps you to be clean. It's a lot harder to keep clean. There's more a more regimented thing that you have to do for cleansing with uncircumcision as there is with circumcision, and we're talking about the flesh. So the sinful nature is that foreskin, that excess baggage that's not necessary, that continually brings dirt, to where that is removed so that you can be clean. That's the representation in the midst of it. And so the sinful nature is taken when mother does her surgery on you to give you circumcision of the heart. When you've proven yourself that you have set it in your mind to absolution, and then you've been through the test, when they do the circumcision of the heart, they take the sinful nature, they cut it away from the heart, and they attach it to the body of flesh. When it's attached to your heart, it masters you. You can do nothing about it. When it's attached to your flesh, then you start controlling it. It's not immediate. You have to go through a process of learning how to control, because now you're the master over sin instead of sin being the master over you. And if you're the master over sin, then you will not sin. And the reason that it's attached to the flesh is there's two things that I can think of right now of reasons. The one reason is because this tent, this body, when I perish, when I die, my heart, mind, and soul go somewhere else. My body stays here. So if the sinful nature is attached to my body, then it stays here and it perishes. But if the sinful nature is in my heart, which continues into eternity after physical death, I can't be in the kingdom of God. I have to be in the eternal burning of the abyss because I have the sinful nature, and that nature has to be removed from me in order that I will be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And so the sinful nature, when mother takes it from your heart and places it in the flesh, and we have proof of this in the scripture where Paul's talking to God and he's dealing with some issues, and he asked God three times, take it away. And God said, no, this is the thorn in your flesh. Well, the thorn in your flesh used to be the thorn in your heart that was the given the poison and the pain that was causing you to not have that connection with God. But now the thorn has been transferred to the flesh, but there's a reason for that. So you still remember that, son, it is by grace you are saved, not of works, lest any man can boast. And yes, there's work you must do to maintain and carry out faith, but those works that you do are not earning you, or do not earn you and have not earned you anything. It's just part of the maintenance of what God has gifted, but you still have to go through the process of receiving the grace in order to do that. So it's just a beautiful thing to be able to understand that, well, I had this in my heart. It's moved to my flesh. I have it in my flesh to remind me so I don't get prideful that look what I've done. I don't do absolutely anything that's I have been perfected. No, we're like we've said before in the podcast, we're in the process now with circumcision of the heart of perfecting. So we're continually improving and getting better. And in order to do that, every issue, every instance, everything that comes up, we have to go back and revisit with the gospel message to seek after it, to believe it, to believe in it, to repent to it, to obey it, to trust it. And then we can move on to the next level or the next issue or whatever it is that we're dealing with. But it is important that people understand that sin is of the heart. And if you know you sin because your conscience, your knowledge that you sin. And you can tell somebody, well, I don't sin. I don't sin. But it's not until you experience circumcision of the heart where you know what it is to have a clear conscience, which you know what it is that, yeah, I don't agree with these things and I'm not doing them. I'm mastering them. And therefore, it has no grip on me. I'm the one that has the grip on it. But it is a process, and it is a reprogramming, and it is necessary in order to advance and grow and improve. But the sad thing is, like we said in the beginning of this, is people are not being taught about what the heart is. And I understand why, because they don't know. They don't know how to explain what the heart is, what's the sinful nature, that, you know, why can't we remove the sinful nature, what, you know, what is circumcision of the heart? All these things, they were never spoken about when I was coming up through the churches in Christianity. And so I just plead to people to, if you really want to be in that place of comfort with God, you've got to set aside the lower conscience teaching that people have given you and look to the Bible to find the truth, because the Bible will tell you, and then you talk to God. Show me, help me to see, give me revelation so I can understand and improve my life. Forget about trying to improve somebody else's life. Improve your own life, and that will have an effect on other people for them to improve their life. So just wanted to bring that around to the aspect that the sinful nature is removed from the heart, which then gives you the ability to not sin, but you cannot do it. And then leaving the sinful nature with the body of flesh, it's going to perish and stay here anyway. And that's how you can be in the kingdom, because it's not attached to your heart. But if that sinful nature is still attached to your heart, you cannot, will not be in the kingdom of God. That's an absolute. That's not questionable.
Well, there's even in the Bible, it even mentions that. It mentions about the flesh, and it says, and you are no longer in the flesh, but in the spirit. Well, when you have the sin nature, you're in the flesh because of sin. And it says that you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit because of circumcision of the heart. You are removed from the flesh, who you are. You are placed in Messiah. You are now hidden in Messiah, in God, to where you dwell in the heavenly places by circumcision of the heart, but you still carry the sin nature. And Paul even makes a mention that the things that I do is not I that I, it's not I that do it. It's sin that dwells in me. That things are going to come up from the body of flesh, but no, I'm not okay with that. I'm not doing that again. It's not me doing it. It's the sin that's in the body of flesh. And because I was just, before you had brought it out, I was just thinking about that we have a clear picture of the sin nature being taken to the flesh because, yeah, my grace, we talked about grace on the podcast, my grace, my allowing this to happen to where I'm not expecting perfection from you by works, but obedience, that it's sufficient enough that I'm giving you the ability to have this. So no, this is a way to keep you humble, because if it was taken completely from you, you would get prideful and boast that look at these things that I'm doing. I don't sin anymore. Look at me. No, because it's going to stay there to where just you still carry this body of flesh, so just remember what was done for you. You know, keep that in mind because you won't grow prideful. What I just find so fascinating with this is all of this information that we're given is directly from Yah, and the Word of God backs this up, and the things that we have in this, that if you search it out and seek it, you will find it just like we did, because all this is laid out. It's laid out in the Old Testament. It's laid out in the New Testament, that all through the old and new, it's about repentance to God, obedience to God, and trust in God. Even back with Abram and God changing his name to Abraham, it says that he received the sign of circumcision. And it makes it clear that did he receive the sign before or after what he had made the commitment in his mind? It was after he had followed what God said, because he gave them the sign of circumcision. They couldn't have circumcision in the heart at that point. All they could have would be in the flesh. But Abraham had committed his life to God, never turning back from Yah. He circumcised his heart. And because of that, God said, okay, now I'm going to give you the sign of circumcision because of what you've committed yourself to. This is a outward sign of what you've done in your mind. And then it was made clear in the New Testament that don't get circumcised just to do it. That circumcision is supposed to be of the heart, but the reason that Abraham did that was obedience to God is why he did that. It wasn't to gain anything. It wasn't because if I do the circumcision, then I'll be pleasing to God. No, he was pleasing to God, and God gave him the sign of circumcision, which was the sign of circumcision of the heart to come later by the Spirit. So Abraham, even in the Old Testament, has given us the picture of repentance to God, obedience to God, and trust in God. And he received the sign of circumcision because he circumcised his heart that no matter what God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. That's what I want to do. In his life, it shows that he left. He was called the friend of God. And we have a picture of Moses. We have a picture of Joshua and Messiah. So it's all through the Bible, this picture.
Right. And one of the reasons that even Abraham had to go to those dungeons and wait for Messiah to finish his work for circumcision of the heart was because he had a credit of righteousness. And because it was a credit, and a credit is a loan, it's something you're borrowing, and you have to pay it back. And without Messiah finishing his work, Abraham and any of the other prophets that went before him and after him were not able to have that circumcision of the heart until after he finished his work. So they were given a credit of righteousness, but a credit still has to be settled. You still have to settle that debt by you paying it off, and they weren't capable. So then Messiah came, did his work, died, resurrected. Then he took to them a debit of righteousness. A debit is what you own, not a debt, a debit. So a debit, like you have a debit card, well, you use that debit card because you have that money in your account. If that money's not in your account, you can't use your debit card unless you use it as credit. And so it's just interesting that even with them, they had a credit of righteousness, which made them right before God, which gave them forgiveness of sins. But they were not able to have circumcision of the heart till Messiah passed.
And I just thought about this, that that's when we have the separation of Abraham's side, that because of circumcision of the heart, you can go to Abraham's side, because I just remembered that Messiah told the thief on the cross, that the thief that was beside him, he said, you know, just remember me, you know, we deserve to be up here, you don't. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise, which was once he went into the earth to separate those by circumcision of the heart, that the paradise is Abraham's side. And there's a great chasm there. And the chasm is you have the sin nature. You cannot cross over to this side. So it makes sense that because the sin nature was removed, mother removed that, then they could go to the side, quote, Abraham's side, not just Abraham, but those with the faith of Abraham. And those on the other side, there's the torment. And we have the picture of the rich man and Lazarus that, no, you lived on the sin nature on this side. You can't come over to this side. That there's that great chasm that if Yah puts a chasm in, you're not going to cross it. There's no man, just like the sin nature. You're not going to overcome sin on your own, that Yah has to step in and bring a separation to that.
Right. And if you remember the story, that it was said that they can't cross over to here, nor can you cross over to there, because without the sinful nature, you can't cross through that chasm, just as well as they can't cross through that chasm, because it's already set. The chasm is a representation of being set, that once you die in this life, it's done. It's set, and you will either have had circumcision of the heart, and you will go wait with Abraham and the rest of them for us to gain it all together, or you will go wait in the place of torment for being ushered off to the abyss.
And we even have a picture of that with the Jordan River. When they crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land, that they were at the Jordan River at flood stage, there would be no way that they could cross that on their own without God's help, to where when they stepped into the water, then the waters receded because they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Thank you. That, which is interesting, you walk in Messiah, you carry that Ark of the Covenant, that you step in, that you're able to stop the flood to where you can walk through. So just even Mother bringing that to mind, that we have it all through the Bible, crossing over the Jordan into the Promised Land. Circumcision of the heart allows you to step across the Jordan because you carry the body of Messiah over to the other side. But if you try to cross it, attempt to cross, and I've not seen it, but imagine that river being at flood stage where you yourself, because right when you go on the water, you're going to drown, you're going to be taken down river. You can't get to the other side on your own. It's impossible.
Well, and look at the flood, Moses with the parting of the Red Sea, that it was another representation of the thing that only God can do to save you, that all you can do is follow God until they open up that way and you follow them wholeheartedly, you know, because there was a generation that wasn't allowed to go into the Promised Land. And so they had to wander around because that generation did not obey God. And therefore, they were not allowed to go in because they were not in a place of circumcising their hearts to cross over the physical Jordan to get into the Promised Land. And so those representations are all in. It's in the story of the flood with Noah. When the flood... Who's going to sustain you for 150 days on water in a boat with all those animals and everything? Only God. And God's going to make sure that when that boat comes to rest, it's going to come to rest in in an appropriate place. So it's the power of God showing that if you have circumcised your heart by the mindset in your conscious mind, then you get to cross over, you know. And some were saved with the case of Noah. He was the righteous one, which a representation of Messiah to bring others into a new world. And it's all over scripture.
There's so many.
And so we're going to tie this up right now and just reiterate, what is the heart and the sin nature that the Bible speaks about? The heart is your subconscious. And the sin nature are the prison doors that keep sin in your heart. And the only way they can be removed is you circumcise your heart, like Abraham, Moses, the prophets, you know, go right on down the line. You commit yourself to God. Have a heart for God after, like David had a heart after God's own heart. Have a heart after God's own heart. Have your lower conscience, your subconscious, be as God is. So have a heart after God's heart, because like with David, all he could do was set it in his mind that that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to follow through with it. And so just a summation of the questions, the heart is the lower conscience, the subconscious, the sin nature are the prison bars, And the circumcision of the heart is mother, removing those prison bars, taking that nature of sin out of your heart, so now you can have a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And so we're going to end with that, and we'll just see where the Spirit leads us for the next time we meet together.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Treasures Revealed. We want to leave you with this thought. The greatest treasure in life, and especially in faith, is discovery. If we try to convince you of things, you may gain head knowledge, but if we let you discover things, you will have heart knowledge to know and understand and be able to give a good answer for the faith that you have. Treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. Seek the treasure of God through conversation with them and through their word. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek the hidden treasure of God, and you will be blessed by it.